Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
So we've been in this series, Reclaim, as you can see behind me. And I want to give you a bit of context to our vision month, something we do every February. And really, I'm thankful because we've got pastors who are seeking God, who are leaning into where God is leading us. We're not just kind of going through the motions of another year, another cycle. Every year, it's what is God doing in our midst? What does God want to do in our church, in our people, in our city? And so over the last couple of years, we've had these incredible words that have been given and delivered and ministered to us that have been a banner over our year. And so if you remember back to 2024, the word for that year, if you remember, was prepare the way for the Lord. Anyone remember 2024? It's a few years ago now. And it really was a year of preparation, both on an individual level, but as a church as well. God was getting us ready for what is in the next season for our church. And God did prepare us. He prepared our hearts. He prepared our church in so many different ways. And then 2025, last year, we had an incredible year where the word was a year of the great harvest, particularly of new believers. And isn't that so true that God prepares us for the harvest? It's kind of like the pruning before the fruit. And that's the kind of the journey we've been on over the last couple of years. And then 2 weeks ago, Pastor Alan just shared the word for this year, which is the year to reclaim. And you can see on the screen specifically what we're talking about is things that have been lost, things that have been stolen, things that have been uncultivated or dormant in our lives. And this is for our lives individually, our families, our marriages, but also for our church collectively, for us as a community. Because, God so often, to be honest, more often than not, when God speaks, He speaks not to individuals, but to a group of people. And so God is leading us together in community in our city. But then also, He speaks to the church. And we're believing that we're going to see some things reclaimed in the church, particularly in our nation and in our city as well. I love what Jessen shared, talking about how God is preparing us to be sent out. And she used this image, this wording of into no man's land. And there's this picture of, that strip of land in between two warring sides that is kind of shot up and kind of muddy and broken down. It's unclaimed territory in between two warring sides. That there's this unclaimed lands, no man's land, which God is calling us to advance again out of the trenches, out of hiding, and into the places in our city and in our future that God is calling us to take back, to take territory in our city again. And so this is the journey we've been on. And last week, Pastor Al continued this series and he shared this idea of rending our hearts, surrendering ourselves to the Lord. That the first thing that God wants to reclaim, the first thing before anything else that God wants to restore and reclaim is our own hearts. Our own lives. Of everything else God wants to do in our city, in our world, the most important thing to Him is that our hearts would be His. And so this morning, in about 20 minutes' time, I'm going to give you and anybody here that opportunity for you to do that. And this is something we do in every service, in every location, because we know this is what God cares about more than anything, that our hearts would be His. And so what does that look like? Well, I'm going to ask, in a little bit of time, I'll give you the opportunity to lift your hand and say, yes, that's me. I want to be a part of that. I want to pray a prayer to do that. Then I'm going to lead you in a prayer of inviting Christ into your life, but also giving your life to Christ. And then some of our team are going to come and chat to you and give you a Bible and just see if they can pray for you and help you out in any way, get your details so that we can help you on that journey of following Christ. So that's what's going to happen. I just want to say that because this is who we are. This is what we do. This is God's priority. This is His true north, that He would seek and save the lost. Number one, people's hearts. Because what I've discovered when we talk about this idea of restoration, of reclaiming things, is that the restoration in our lives flows from the restoration of our hearts. And so as our hearts are surrendered, are broken before the Lord, as God starts to redeem and transform our lives, that begins to spill over and spill out and overflow into all the areas of our life. And so we're going to start this message with the key scripture that we've been talking about, that we've been sitting in Joel chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 22. It should come up on the screen. And it says this: "Do not be afraid." Another translation says, "Fear not, you wild animals, you dirty dogs." "You wild," I feel like some of you have heard that name before, you know, "you wild animal, you. For the pastures in the wilderness are becoming green." Come on, it is happening. They are becoming green. "The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains, because he is faithful. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. And I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locusts and the young locusts, the other locusts and the locust swarm." That's a lot of locusts. "My great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. And then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed." Verse 28, "And then afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people, your sons and your daughters will prophesy." Come on. "Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." What a promise. What a scripture. Now, to give you a bit of context to this scripture, the kingdom of Judah, so when Israel was broken up into two kingdoms, the kingdom of Judah, which is where Jerusalem was, had faced a terrible plague of locusts, as we can see, like a lot of locusts. And they were experiencing drought and famine, all the crops were destroyed. And so the prophet Joel was calling the kingdom of Judah to repentance. Say, "Come back to the Lord, rend your heart. Come back to Christ." Well, not to Christ, you know what I mean. Come back to the Lord. Come back to God. And in doing so, he declared a coming restoration that would take place because of that. But this scripture, and like many of the scriptures, particularly the prophetic scriptures throughout the Bible, is not just referring to a localized restoration. Now, obviously it is. It's talking to them in their then and then moment, you know, like it's talking to their immediate sphere, what they were actually facing in a real historical setting. That's absolutely true. But it's not just referring to that. And how do I know that? Well, because in verse 28, it concludes with the promise of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on all people, which is a direct connection to the day of Pentecost. Because even that scripture, this very scripture, is used by the disciples to declare, hey, this is being fulfilled right now on Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given. And so the prophet Joel was purposely, very intentionally, linking the restoration of lands and the giving and the pouring out and the promise of the Holy Spirit. They are one together. They are one collective sequence. And so I was thinking to myself, you know, I wonder what restoration kind of moment happened just before Pentecost. I was just thinking, Joel's talking about this moment, and then he suddenly jumps to, you know, the promise of Pentecost. But, you know, maybe there's a dual thing going on here. Like, obviously, Judah needed their crops back, but maybe there was a restorative moment that came right before the Pentecost. What could that be? And then I realized, well, right before Pentecost was when Jesus died on the cross. And there was this beautiful resurrection of life, this renewal and restoration, where the sin-tainted land of our hearts had been brought back to life, and there was fresh life and fresh hope and fresh resurrection power that was coming into each of our lives. You see, this scripture is a prophetic picture and promise, not just of the Holy Spirit, but of what Jesus did on the cross. And it's an ongoing promise of what God can do in our lives as well. And like every promise in Scripture, it is both a now promise, like we can experience right now in this moment. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. But also it will be fulfilled when Jesus returns. And so we see this beautiful picture of the land of our lives being restored and the Holy Spirit being given out in Jesus' name. So I want to start in verse 22 at the very beginning of this scripture, and where it says, "Do not be afraid." Fear not. Fear not. Do not be afraid. You see, one of the biggest things I've personally experienced, and that I have found one of the best parts about giving our hearts to God, is that there's no more need to fear. There's no fear. Like, there's no fear. Like, just think about that, really. We have no need to fear. Our lives are hidden in Christ. Our eternity is set in His arms, in His body, in His blood. We've been covered by Christ. Our whole lives are completely redeemed. There is no fear in love. There is no fear. You know, and sometimes the common question around this kind of idea of, well, you don't fear anything? Like anything? Like, what about, like, you know, we have regularly geckos come into our home. I've learned to love geckos. We used to slept one in the, we just, last night, just, is this in the corner of the room? Just hanging out, eating all the mozzies. It was great. So, like, fear nothing? You know, so fear is a really interesting thing because it's a human mechanism, right? It's a defense mechanism. It's how we survive. It keeps us out of danger. But what I found is when our humanity is disconnected to its creator, that fear gear gets stuck in overdrive. And we fear things that we've been called to have dominion over. You know, there's no fear in death anymore. There's no sting in it. And so even death, even the uncertainty of the future and of all the things that we still face in these bodies, we don't need to fear because our lives are now in Christ. And that's why we can say we don't fear, because perfect love has driven out, cast out all fear. And so this is our starting place. Whenever we go into what is God leading us into, there's no fear. We're not fearing the future. This is our starting point. And I get a sense that this morning, maybe God's wanting to deliver some of you from fear. Fear of lack, fear of uncertainty, fear of losing control, fear of what God might be wanting to do in our lives. And there's this fear, but there's no fear in love. So when our hearts are rendered before the Lord, like Pastor Al mentioned last week, we don't need to fear anymore. And so we see in this passage, God restore three things in their lives. The first one is their land. Now, this is all about just what they have possession over. This is about the land, their lot in life, their crops, their all the things that surround their life, their world that they have stewardship over. God is restoring the land of your life. He's restoring. We're believing God's going to bring freshness and green pastures and life and fruitfulness and flourishing to your life. Things that have felt dry, things that have felt, you know, just hard, and like there's things aren't working, things aren't clicking, that things would start to click and there would be a fresh fruitfulness in the land of your life. The second thing we see restored is their language. You know, he says, "Be glad, people of Zion, rejoice in the Lord." There's a joy, there's a sound of this season. And I believe one of the key things God is going to restore to us as a church is a fresh sound of joy, of faith, of gladness, that on our lips won't be cynicism, but will be a great hope and faith in the promises that God has given us. There's a moment we're going to have on March 11. I want to let you know, because this is, I think, part of it. I think part of the restoration of our voice, of our language, is us getting an expectant, faithful, united prayer together again. And so I want to let you know, March 11, it's a Wednesday night. We're going to have an all-in, all locations, all services prayer moment online. I want to encourage you to be there because I believe as God is reclaiming the language of our church, the sound of this season of reclaim, one of the key moments will be the sound of expectant, united, faith-filled prayer. And so I want to encourage you to be there. March 11th, we're going to do that together on a Wednesday evening. And then the third thing that we see gets redeemed. So it's their land, their language, and their lost, the things that have been lost, things that have been stolen. And we're believing, really believing for your life, for your family, for your future, things that have felt like they've been ripped away, stolen, that have been kind of laid waste to in your life are going to be repaid and redeemed. Children, finances, businesses, purity, all the different things. I love, Andy mentioned Peter Young shared the 8:30 story and talked about how his conscience, after years of walking away from the Lord, his conscience was restored. His mind, his heart was restored to the sensitivity to God. So there's nothing's too hard for God. And I honestly love how Joel lays out, you know, the young locusts, the great locusts, the crawling locusts, the locust swarm. He's just covering every base. Because sometimes we can excuse, well, God can do that, that, and that, but he can't do this. But, you know, I was looking at a commentary on this, the four locusts, that's interesting. And all the commenters are saying, we don't really know why they mention all the different locusts. I think I know why. He's just saying, hey, whatever has come against you, it's not too hard for God. Whatever has tried to steal, kill, and destroy out of your life is not out of God's reach. And so I want to encourage you today, whatever it is that you feel like has been ripped away from you, God can restore, redeem, and renew it in your life. In Jesus' name. So he is the God of restoration and reclaiming. But what I've discovered is God has a pattern of doing things. He has a process. And his pattern, his process, is that he invites us in to be participators of what he does. And so, yes, God has the ability to fully restore and fully reclaim anything he wants. But all throughout Scripture, we see this pattern that Jesus and that the Father uses to invite us in to what he's doing. In the Garden of Eden, with the disciples, with all the covenants throughout the Old Testament, with Noah, with David, with Abraham, he invites people into the journey. And he's inviting us in to be a part of this season of reclaim. He wants us to be involved in the miracle. And so when I think about this, it makes me think about the Israelites when they were about to enter the promised land. And it's an amazing story, which we're not going to go into in detail, but in Numbers 13, if you want to read it in your own time, I encourage you to do so. Because the promised land moment, when the Israelites were getting ready to enter into the promised land, was actually a reclaiming moment. This was something that I didn't really put together until recently. I didn't realize that they were entering into the promised land after 400 years of slavery. But it's not the first time they were taking this land. This is the land. This is the land that Abraham settled in. When he left, you know, we see the great scripture in Genesis where he's called to a land that he does not know. You know, he's Abraham, he's from Ur of the Chaldeans, and he goes to a land. The land that he settled his family in was Canaan. They already had the lands. They already had the promised lands. And then through a series of unfortunate events, you know, he had a son, Joseph, who got, you know, shipped off for various reasons, found himself in influence in Egypt. And then when a famine came, he was able to bring his whole family out of Canaan and back in, and into Egypt for protection. And that's where they got enslaved for 400 years. And so when they finally left Egypt to go into the promised land, they were just going back to the land that Abraham had already settled in. They were reclaiming it. It was not a new promised land. They were returning to the original promise. It was a land that had been lost. And so when the Israelites were getting ready to enter back in, God's wanting them to participate in this process. So he sent. So they got some spies. They got 12 spies. They sent out the, you know, to just to check it out, suss out what God was wanting to do, where he was leading them back into. And they went out and they, you know, looked around and, you know, you might know the story, but they, you know, they saw all the amazing things, the fruit, the massive fruit, juicy fruit. How good is good, crisp, crunchy fruit? And they saw it. But then suddenly, even though they saw the land, they said, the land is great. It's flowing with milk and honey. You know, this fruit the size of melons, like there's a lot of fruit. The fruit is good. And then But the descendants of Anak were there. The giants were in the land. There's fortified cities. How can we do this? And so they saw the fruit of what God wanted to reclaim and restore to them. But then immediately their eyes were pulled off the fruit to the fight that it would require. And isn't that true of our lives? We go into Vision Month, oh yeah, God, you want to do this in our lives. God, you want to do this in our city. God, you want to do this amazing restoration in my life. But then that's going to cost this. That's going to require me to do this. That's going to require something of me to change my heart, to forgive. Oh, and the cost seems too much. And so the 10 out of the 12 spies brought back a report, can I just say, was 100% factual. They were right. The fruit was good. The land was great. There were giants in the land. The cities were heavily fortified. So what their report of what God was leading them into was 100% true. Factual to a T. But their spirit wasn't right. And isn't it so true that sometimes our assessment can be true, but our spirit can be off? Well, yeah, when we lean into facts and what our eyes can see rather than faith. We live our lives by just what we can see and what we can observe, which can be all true, but we allow that to be the distinguishing point of where our faith lies rather than our faith in God's word and God's promise. Only Caleb and Joshua were positioned in faith and they chose, get this, they chose to bring a good report because they saw the same lands that everyone else did. They saw the same giants, the same fortified cities that God was leading into, but they chose to bring a good report. Can I tell you, it has nothing to do with the size of the giant or the battle in front of you. It has nothing to do with it and everything to do with our faith in God's promise, our faith in God's word. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Jesus. A good report will require a different spirit. A good report will require a different spirit. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So what is amazing is that they needed to reclaim who they were. Because fear had caused them to see themselves as small. We see the report of the bad spies. They said, "Well, we looked like grasshoppers in our own eyes," and that's how they saw us too. And so they saw themselves because they'd been slaves for 400 years. Their identity, their whole psyche, was destroyed. They saw themselves as small, and because of that, they projected themselves onto everyone around them, and they just assumed everyone else saw them as small as well. And so it required a reclaiming and a reawakening of their collective identity. Now, something that I literally just learned in the last 2 weeks. This is amazing. You'll love this, I hope. Does anyone know what the word Hebrew means? I didn't either, so don't worry. Like, you know, what is Hebrew? Like, this is this word that Scripture uses for this, the people of God that we've used for thousands of years for these people, God's people, the Hebrews. What is a Hebrew? Like, is it a guy who makes good coffee? Is it a Kiwi? Hello, a Hebrew? Like, what is a Hebrew? Someone tell me, what is this name everyone keeps using for these Israelites? Do you know Hebrew was a colloquial local term that was coined for the people of God when they first entered Canaan? When Abraham first settled in Canaan, Hebrew means those that cross over. Those that have crossed over. Those that have entered the land. Those that have claimed something. That was their reputation. That was how people saw them. And so I was thinking about this and how then they had to return to reclaim the same land. And the question is, when they get to the border lines of Canaan, of the promised land, are they going to be those people again? People who cross over. People who have the courage to step over fear, over doubt, over unbelief and say, oh, surely we can do this. Are they going to be that people again that can cross in and have a good rapport and have courage to do the things that God is calling them to do? Are they going to be those people, or are they going to let the identity that has cloaked them in Egypt of slaves, of people under restraint, under a hand of evil, are they going to be those people and they shy away from the promises of God? They had a choice to reclaim who they were as a people. And it reminded me of this picture that Pastor Jessen got of the wild horse, the unruly horse that was kind of running and you know, strong, but like, you know, unrestrained. And then how it was transformed into this war horse that was strong and steadfast and had eyes like flint and armor on, was ready to march, ready to go into battle. And I just sense that as a church, one of the things God is reclaiming, not just for us individually, but for us collectively, is that God would reclaim the spirit of faith and boldness over this house. Come on, that we can be people of risk again, people of faith again, people who can step over and cross into lands that are unoccupied, that we can reclaim things for the kingdom of God. This is the call on this house. This is the well that has been dug on this altar. People who are willing to say yes to God despite the cost. This is what God is wanting to reclaim, this spirit of faith in every single one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, I think there's some cities to march around together. What do you reckon? Some fortified walls that need coming down. If I can get our musicians back up, that would be great. Come on, there's some giants that need slaying in this land, in your life, but here in Sydney, here in our nation. And it's going to require us as a church to reclaim, come on, the identity of this house, that God has birthed the banner over this house, as people of faith. God is reclaiming this in our lives and in our church. So, do not be afraid, you wild animals. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.